Alrighty, good evening, one and all. I'm gonna telesend you a holy kiss to one and all. Mwah. My teaching is, it's funny because I first started to think about the topic of this, and so I was going to call it Nuggets of Wisdom. But the more I delved into that subject, it changed to Boundless Wisdom, and then it became Boundless Wisdom Applications. So that's what I'm going to be talking about. And I think wisdom is always an apropos theme, because life is not easy. We are faced with many challenges, and we need to make good choices, as they always say in school. Make a good choice, make a good choice. However, they never quite mention God there and what God says about things, so there's that. Also, it's an election year coming up, therefore we should be able to make good choices, and whereas I know it is hard to discern five senses why which candidate is the best. Here's a little bit of I had tidbit. Choose the one that exhibits or speaks about or even enacts the most of godly principles. All right, let's go to the foundation of this. There are several scriptures that start with the fear of the Lord, and that is the reverence, the respect, having respect for God Almighty. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That is the beginning. It comes up many times, and so it must be a very, very important point that God is making. Psalm 111:10 says, here we go, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those that do his commandments. His praise endures forever. That was Psalm 111:10. The next one says, and we are going to look a little bit within context, the context of where these scriptures are written. Proverbs 1:7. The fear, the reverence, the respect of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and instructions. And I certainly was a fool and still a fool sometimes, but there'll be a lot of fools out there today. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So knowing God, knowing his word, his precepts, his will is understanding. Notice also a trend that wisdom and knowledge seem to go hand in hand just about all the time, or at least 90% of the time. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes what? Knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 2:2 says, why should we do that? So that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Why should we have reverence, fear of God? So that we will incline our ears unto wisdom. Unto his wisdom, not worldly wisdom, and apply our hearts to understanding. So it's not, and here we see again, it's not enough to have wisdom, we also need how to apply it. And the knowledge part is, wisdom is the revelation, if you will. You know, you get to know, oh my gosh, my car is dripping oil. The knowledge is, what do I do about it? Well, in our case, most of us go to the mechanic, you know, let him deal with it, you know. Anyways, James 1:5 says, oh, where do we get this? Well, get what? Sorry. Says, if you lack wisdom, and I'm pretty sure most of us do in most of the time, true wisdom, lack true wisdom, let him ask of Google. Yeah? No, I got some shaking heads. No, Google, no. Who do we ask?
God.
God. Let, if you lack wisdom, let him or her, him is an all-inclusive noun, ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. The word liberally means copiously, without bounds, okay, no restrictions. And upbraids not, excuse me, no strings, no strings attached, and it shall be given him. So, the beginning of all knowledge, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and that we learn that we need to incline our ears to wisdom, and we can ask God for wisdom. Excuse me a minute. Ah, I have a dry spot in my throat, and it won't get away. Just 1 second. All right, let's look at some benefits. So we're let's look at a little bit of the context of all of these scriptures that we, or most of the scriptures that we looked at in Proverbs. So let's go to Proverbs 2, 1 through 14, and we're going to just read them because they're pretty self-explanatory. I have a hose over there on the counter. Can you get it to me, please? Here we go. My son, if you will receive my word, this is God talking directly to us, and certainly at the time to Israel specific, and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yeah, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and searches for her as for his treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Look at how much passion God puts into this directive. Seek her, cry after it, because it's so precious, more precious than silver or any hidden treasure. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Remember 1 James 1:5, or in James 1:5, ask God and he shall give you liberally. Verse 7, God lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He, God, is a buckler to those that walk uprightly. A buckler is a defensive armor, if you will. He, God, keeps the path of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. And when I saw that we will understand righteousness, judgment, and equity, I nearly burst a thing laughing, because that word equity has come up really strong in the political scene in the past 2, 3, maybe 4 years. And here's God talking about equity over 2,000 years ago. But righteous equity, godly equity, the right type of equity. Here it is. So, okay, yeah, every good path. And when wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, meaning you actually like that, discretion, here is why, another reasons why we should seek after godly wisdom. Discretion, which is not a way of saying making good choices, shall preserve you. Understanding shall keep you, to deliver you from the way of the evil man, plenty of those around, and from the man that speaks froward evil, bad things, who leaves the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Wow. These are certainly words that we should probably have engraved in front of the palms of our hands and our hearts and daily remember that. I don't know, I forget a lot. And then at some point, you know, when I, especially with challenges and stuff like that, and then when I have a sane moment, you know, I draw back to God's word and I go, what an idiot I was, right? Look at what God says, and, you know, he can help me out with this. He can tell me what to do or tell me which way I should go. Okay, a little bit more on the lighter side. I wanted to see where wisdom, knowledge intersect in application. And this is something that I don't know if many of us think about as far when it comes to knowledge or wisdom. I hear a lot of believers talking about, yeah, I ask God, you know, for his input or what I should do, you know, that wisdom thing. But it never much has to do with this. So I am a do-it-yourself person. I am the one that paints, well, used to at this point in my life, last 2 years it's been physically challenging, but I mean, I was always the one doing the painting and putting in new cabinets and laying down floors and doing cement work and climbing trees and trimming stuff, right? And I don't know if my husband ever scratched his head. Well, I know he scratched his head many times, but I don't know if he ever scratched his head and went, how she know how to do this? And it occurred to me that although I've always been curious about things, so I've probably watched some people do stuff, but overall, you know, living in the city, in an apartment, a house, and as a kid, you get to watch somebody build a house or anything like that. And it occurred to me as I would go about fixing something, I would have an initial idea, this needs to be fixed. I think I probably need this tool and that tool. And step by step, I would actually know what to do. And then when the job was done, it was done pretty much right most of the time. And I would say to myself, how the heck did I know how to do that? And then I look up to heaven, I go, oh, it had to be you telling me, you know? So here is that corroboration. In Exodus 31, verse 3 through 5, we can pick it up there. And, you know, as of lately, I've become acutely aware of technological advances or scientific advances within the field of healthcare, for which I am really thankful for. I mean, you know, hip replacements weren't available about 80 years ago, and people just suffered greatly, or knee replacements, or something that we take for granted nowadays. So, there's a lot of stuff to be thankful for. But here's the thing. I always thought that God would be the inspiration behind these discoveries. Air conditioning, heating, especially air conditioning, you know. Very thankful for that. So, all right, Exodus 31:3-5. So this is, again, God talking and says, and I have filled him, man, with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding. So wisdom, the problem, understanding what to do about it, the solution, and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. When I started this teaching, I asked my husband a question. I said, what do you think, which categories, where can we apply God's wisdom? He looked at me like with weird eyes and he goes, everything. Of course, it is everything, but, you know, I started kind of in a different direction and, yeah, of course, it's everything. All right, so workmanship, that's kind of everything. Let's see some of this everything. Verse 4. To devise cunning, smart works, to work in gold and in silver and brass, silversmithing, and in cutting of stones, not necessarily precious stones, but also, you know, stones like how to build a pyramid, whatever, a house, a temple, whatever it may be, a road, to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. Look at that. how to do things that we need to do on a daily basis to have creature comforts, if you will. A roof over our head, a road to travel on, a house of prayer. Exodus 35:31. And he, God, had filled him, talking specifically about this guy, Bezalel, with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. Verse 35 says, then had he filled, talking about God filling people with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work. Here's a bit of a list of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer in blue and in purple and in scarlet, somebody that dyes color stuff, and in fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning works. Look at that. So people could have clothes and enjoy pretty colors and all of that. And I was thinking throughout this about Noah. You know, when God told Noah to build the ark, as we know it, it was like, okay, go cut some wood, figure it out. And it was like Noah going and building this huge ark. As a matter of fact, there are very detailed descriptions of how big, how tall, the weight, I mean, you know, very detail-minded and or detail-given, and Noah followed those directions. All right. Here's a good one for our leader, political leaders. As leaders of a nation, what comes to mind to me are people like David, King David, Solomon. Solomon had asked one thing of God, which was wisdom. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for super strength. He didn't ask to have a better set of hair or whatever, or 10,000 wives, although, well, that was kind of his downfall. But anyways, but he did ask for wisdom. And my teaching runs a bit long, so I'm just going to go through this record, which most of us probably know. Actually, no, let me put that on just on the back burner for a minute, because I do want to go through Numbers 13, because we're talking about what we call today the CIA. But here is God telling Moses, and I am going to summarize this. Numbers 13, it's 1 through 25. God tells Moses, hey, you've been forever here in the desert and wherever you were at, he was at. Go take the leader of each tribe and send him out to the land of Canaan, because I'm going to give you that land, and I want you to check everything out. Check out how many people there are. Check out the soil. Is it fertile? Is it poor? Check out the people, how many are there, and do they live in tents, do they live in houses, are they fortified, the houses, I mean cities, you know, the whole shebang, and then are there any trees? Why? Probably for building purposes. Are there any fruits, vegetables? Bring something good back, you know. This is the CIA nowadays, when we go, when we or presidents send out spies to other lands, it's to get to know what is, I guess, the enemy. So that was back then the CIA. And they did. And they actually brought back, what comes to mind? Oh, this huge thing of grape. And it took like two or four men to carry it because the grapes were so ripe and succulent and whatnot. They stayed like 45 days, it says. If you look at verse, let's see, verse 20, let's just pick it up there. So, and Moses said to, you know, the people, and so, you know, let's see what the land is, how is the soil, and be of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. Now, the time was that the time of the first ripe, you know, grapes, it was time of that particular harvest. And they came unto the brook, these spies of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, one branch, one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, it was that big, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. So they stayed 40 days checking everything out, right? So God can give you wisdom in state affairs. We know of Pharaoh, the dream that Pharaoh had, that was in Genesis 41. Now, he was the leader, obviously, of Egyptians who were not believers, but we know that the Hebrews were they had actually been there once before, and with Moses being, you know, brought up by Pharaoh's daughter beforehand. This is with Joseph. Wait, am I messing up time-wise? No, I'm not. Because, no, Joseph comes after Moses. And Joseph, at the time, had landed in his... he was sold into slavery by his stupid brothers, who were jealous of him, and he landed up in Pharaoh's jail. And Pharaoh, though, had two dreams, very super disturbing dreams, with seven fat cows being eaten by seven skeletal cows and seven very plenteous and juicy ears of corn being devoured by seven thin corns. And he was so disturbed by this dream, Pharaoh, that is, that he called everybody and their mother to the court that could interpret this dream, and no one could. Until one dude who had been actually in jail himself, the baker, said, hey, there's this guy Joseph in there, and he can interpret dreams. And he did. The cool thing about this, by the way, with wisdom, is that when Pharaoh sent for Joseph and told him the dreams, and Pharaoh was all like, oh, you're the greatest, blah, 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 blah. And Joseph answered and said to Pharaoh, it is not of me, in me. God shall give Pharaoh the right answer. So a little bit of humility with that, recognizing that I'm not so great and so wise on my own, or I'm not so great because I know how to fix stuff. It's because God gave me, you know, the instructions on how to do that. So definitely give glory to God. So anyways, and then, of course, Joseph explained the dream and said, okay, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. Most of us, again, know that story. But because of that, given wisdom from God and then the what to do about it, right, a whole nation got saved, didn't starve, and moreover, the rest of the world, as it was known, then came to Pharaoh, was able to buy food. And because of also the Israelites did, and because of this, then also Joseph got, reunited with his brothers, and the bloodline kind of kept going with, you know, Jesus Christ's bloodline. So anyways, all right. So we see that this leader benefited from godly wisdom, although he wasn't directly the believer. But he recognized that this God, Joseph's God, was like, this is like the God to watch, you know, type of thing. And one more guy, Solomon, as I said before, who asked for wisdom. In 1 Kings 3:16, that makes for a really good story reading, is the story of these two women. There are more examples than this, but the two women who gave birth to baby each at the same time. One woman's baby died, the other ones did not. So the mother whose baby died, she snuck in to the other mother with the live baby at night, switched out the babies, and then made her like nothing was happening, right? And so when the mother whose baby was stolen woke up in the morning, she said, this isn't my baby. I know my baby, you know. So anyways, they ended up in front of Solomon and back and forth. She did this. No, I didn't, blah, 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 blah. So Solomon says, hey, yeah, I wasn't there, but I tell you what, you both want the baby, I'm just going to cut it in half. Of course, if you're the true mother, you're going to say, please, no, don't touch it. You know, just let it live with whatever he or she was with the other woman. But by that, Solomon knew who the right mother was. But this was godly given wisdom and how to deal with that. And because Solomon did a lot of other things, but because of how wise he was, his fame went throughout the lands insofar that Queen Sheba came with her entourage and communed with him for quite a while and then ended up honoring him with a lot of gifts. Not that he was poor to begin with, but, you know, a lot of silver, gold, and all kinds of stuff. So, in conclusion, the beginning of getting wisdom and knowledge, well, is having, you start with reverencing God, with respecting Him, respecting His Word, His Word, the Bible, it's His Word, His will. That's what He wants you to know. That's what He wants you to do. So that's where it all starts. And then, this is kind of like my epilogue. And then here's, and of course, why? So that we will do well in life. So we don't have to succumb to evil doers. But Psalm 49:3 has a really good, is a really nice verse about it. It says, my mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. And Proverbs 2:10-11 says, and we read this before, when wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. And even just as important, we've got to make the best use of our time here on earth. We're not here for a very long time, all things considered. Once we get the knowledge of God and we give our life to God, we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we get that seed, we are sons and daughters of God, we want to bring Him honor and do what's right, because that's profitable and it's good. And Psalm 90 says, so teach us to number our days, God, because our days are numbered. Why? That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So that's what I wanted to share. Thank you for listening and coming in.